So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Tuesdays at this time, which is 7:42, we check in with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and we'll get to that Facebook outage and also what'll be happening today with the Senate subcommittee hearing momentarily. But first, let's talk a little bit about how to put just the right amount of thought into social media, which can be overwhelming, can't it, Scott?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a problem sometimes. Too much thought, and that's an interesting way of framing it.
There's so many rules and so many best practices, Bob, and don't get me wrong, you know, they're important, but I fear that overthinking it impacts our ability to not only enjoy it, but to be able to do it well. But that said, if you approach each platform differently, that itself is actually a best practice, I think you'll find it much more manageable.
Give us an example.
Oh, sure. So let's start with Twitter. The most common questions that I've been asked over the years center around hashtags. They say things like, you know, how many do I use? Do I have to use them? Should I make up my own? And the answers are one hashtag, maybe two, no, and you know, probably don't want to make your own. You know, you notice the common thing here, nothing is really set in stone. That's a big thing. There's lots of maybe, there's lots of probably.
And that certainly is straightforward enough, but do you worry people will overthink the easy stuff? Like, what if someone gets caught up on the right hashtag to use, for example?
See, for me, Bob, that's the beauty of it. It's not really a matter of right and wrong. I mean, the hashtag itself is not going to define the tweet. Will the best chosen one make the tweet easier to find? Yes. But if you forget the hashtag or you use one that I wouldn't have recommended, it doesn't mean that you failed at tweeting. And like so many other things in life, I believe the fear of failure prevents people from jumping in. And I really do understand that. And what I want to tell people is that you really shouldn't overthink it.
Now, that was Twitter, which is a platform we've been using for about 15 years. Does that advice also apply to other platforms that may be less familiar?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. You can modify a few things, and you can easily apply that lesson to TikTok, for example, or Snapchat, absolutely.
And we're talking simple tips for social media platforms, and the advice applies to business and personal use, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. There's a few more suggestions on the business end, but they're absolutely applicable across the board.
You've talked about making sure to know your audience and to ensure someone is on the platform you're embracing before you embrace it, and that is still important, right?
Yes, it's important, yes, but don't confuse important with impossible. See, that's the thing. If you're a business owner listening and you have this amazing idea for a series of TikTok videos and you aren't sure if your customers are on TikTok, don't abandon the idea. Make the videos, post the videos. You can always figure out how to drive the traffic there. And alternatively, there may be a way to reformat the videos or rethink them for another visual platform like Instagram, for example.
It really comes back to not being afraid to try, right?
Exactly right, Bob.
Digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. And let's do the lightning round, Scott. Some more quick tips by platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Facebook, skip the hashtags and make your post descriptions short and sweet. On Instagram, next time you go to post a photo, post a video instead to gauge your comfort level. And on Pinterest, create a board based on a topic you're familiar with. So, for example, if you design something for a living, start there. But to me, as a bottom line, when you're working on visual platforms, think visual and think shareable. Ask yourself this question. If I came across this in my feed, would I share it? And if the answer is no, rethink your approach.
All right. Got it. Now, the genius bar. We need to talk about Facebook. First of all, I'm reading about what happened yesterday, and they're saying a faulty configuration change on the backbone was the cause of the problem. Can you translate that into English for us?
The short answer is no, I probably can't, but I could put it this way. If you think of it from a very, very high level, even though this affected so many people, and I don't mean to downplay it, this is the same thing that happens when you're at home and your internet goes down. The ability for when your internet goes down and your router cannot communicate with your internet service provider, and therefore you don't have any internet, that's basically what happened here. Their version of a router, as big as it is, couldn't communicate, and it locked everybody out. But in this case, it was just so overwhelming and affected so many of all of their products pretty much at once that that's why this was such a major, major thing.
Any chance any of our personal information was compromised?
No, that's very unlikely. No one sees this as being malicious or sees this as being a hack. There was a lot of talk around how, with all the scrutiny that Facebook is under, that this had to be related somehow. No, it just seems to be a really, really unbelievable coincidence. But no, none of our data has been compromised. You shouldn't worry about anything like that.
Now, today, the Senate subcommittee hearing begins at 9 a.m. Chicago time. It's called Protecting Kids Online. And according to her written testimony, which was submitted in advance, the whistleblower, Frances Haugen, will say that she has come forward despite knowing that Facebook has infinite resources. And she says it could use those resources to destroy me. And she's also going to bring up the big tobacco comparisons. She's going to say when we realized tobacco companies were hiding the harms it caused, the government took action. When we figured out cars were safer with seat belts, the government took action. And today the government is taking action against companies that hid evidence on opioids. And she will say, I implore you to do the same here. Will all this lead to any changes in Facebook? What do you think, Scott?
My gut tells me that no. My gut tells me mostly no. I think people now are listening. I think that's the key. I think you have to get people on board to actually hear what's going on. But as you know, the country is so divided on everything today. Anytime it comes to any type of regulation, when it comes to social media companies or the internet in general, there's just such a divide between the politicians that nothing ends up going anywhere. But I think what's going to happen with this testimony is that people are going to really hear some inside perspective into what is actually going on inside of Facebook, which has really been missing before. You've been hearing that from Mark Zuckerberg and people who are actually involved with the company. But this is like a really different viewpoint. And I think the fact that people are listening, I think that's going to be a big, big thing. But yesterday, if you look at just how people were so upset when it went down and what it meant for them, you just have to wonder how much people are really paying attention to that stuff and if it really matters to them in the long run. To some people, it will. I just don't know how it's going to affect the overall population.
She's going to say, the whistleblower, Frances Haugen, that lawmakers have the power to make these platforms safer. And the exact quote from her testimony that she'll give today, Congress can change the rules Facebook plays by and stop the harm it is causing. You know, I was looking at some old news clips when Facebook first started, and most of the lawmakers, they were really out of it. I mean, one of them referred to Facebook as just tubes and pipes to carry information. And isn't that that's part of the problem? Because now Facebook is like a publisher of a newspaper or the owner of a broadcast outlet. I mean, if we say things here that aren't true, we could be subject to slander and libel suits. Facebook is not. Isn't that really most of the problem here?
That really is most of the problem. And in addition to that, you are talking about clips from all those years ago. There are people now in positions of power who still don't understand what Facebook is and how Facebook works. There's a lot of articles out there today that I've been reading just to catch up on everything that has happened about how these outages affected people around the world. You have to remember that we in the United States use Facebook, we use Instagram. A lot of us don't use WhatsApp. We know know that WhatsApp is a company that's owned by Facebook, but internationally, it's used in ways that we can't even imagine here. I mean, to conduct businesses, to print newspapers, as you mentioned, just all kinds of things that could not happen yesterday for these 6 hours. People were just basically out of work for an entire day. The fact that we are so determined on a platform like this is going to be a key point of what you're hearing today during this testimony and what the impact will be afterwards.
Stay tuned. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Thanks as always, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob. Thank you.